Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 6, and today we're talking about triggers. The word triggered gets used all the time, but most people don't actually understand what it really means. They just know they don't like how it feels. We don't want to be triggered, so we avoid being triggered, and then we judge ourselves when we do get triggered. Before we go deeper, I want to normalize something right away. Being triggered is a universal human experience. Every single person with a nervous system gets triggered. And it's not because you're sensitive or you have trauma. Humans just get triggered. So if you've ever felt reactive, anxious, shut down, overwhelmed, emotionally activated, or like your reaction was bigger than the situation, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just a human. A trigger is when something happening in the present moment activates something unresolved from your past inside your nervous system. So it's not just a thought, it's a body response. And this can look like your chest tightening, your throat constricting, your stomach dropping. Your mind starts scanning and your body braces. And the important part is this, the current situation may not actually be unsafe, but it feels familiar to something that once was. Another way I like to explain this is that triggers are often past versions of us that get activated in the present moment. Not our grounded adult self, but a younger version of us that learned how to brace or people please or shut down, overthink, or react in order to feel safe. So when your reaction feels bigger than the moment, it's usually not just about what's happening right now. It's about what it reminds your nervous system of. And this is really important because triggers are felt in the body first, and then the mind comes online and creates the story. So I want to slow this down and bring you into your body for a moment, because triggers are not just mental, they are somatic experiences in the body. And I want to ask you something. Where do you feel triggers in your body first? Your chest, your throat, your stomach, maybe your jaw? Do you notice yourself bracing anywhere? Most people have never been taught to slow down inside of a trigger. You're only taught to react to it or suppress it. And for me personally, I feel triggers most of the time in my chest and my throat the fastest. It feels like a tightening, a constriction, a bracing sensation. Almost like my body is preparing for something, even when nothing is actually happening. And what most people do is brace against the sensation. They analyze it, they try to think their way out of it, and they push it away, or they react from it. But when we brace against the bracing, we actually intensify the trigger and make it worse. So instead of fighting the sensation, I practice being with it. And this is something I teach my clients too. If I'm feeling triggered and my chest feels tight, I don't force it away. I bring my awareness to a different part of my body that does not feel activated. So for example, if my chest is really activated and it's uncomfortable and I don't want to feel it, I take a moment and I let my body know it's okay to feel this in my chest. And then I focus on maybe my toes or my hands or my legs, somewhere that feels neutral and safe. And that signals safety to my nervous system. I'm not telling my body something's wrong. I'm telling it I can feel this and still be safe. And sometimes the activation feels so strong that it's too much. And so this is where you can orient outward. This is a somatic experiencing tool. So instead of having this internal experience, you're allowing it, but then you're bringing your attention outward. What can you see? Name 5 things you can see. Name 4 things you can hear. Maybe touching something like a bracelet or a ring on you, just to kind of bring yourself out of the body. Because triggers pull us emotionally into the past, and then grounding brings us physically back into the present. And here's something I learned way later in my life when I was able to start processing the anxiety I was experiencing. An emotion, when fully felt, often only lasts about 60 to 90 seconds. But most people don't allow themselves to feel it. They judge it, they suppress it, they distract from it, or they react from it. And so what happens is instead of fully feeling that emotion for the 60 to 90 seconds, the emotion stays stuck. And that's what causes a lot of dysregulation in the body. So have you ever heard people say, oh my gosh, that person triggers me? I like to change the language of that. I teach people to say something within me is triggered right now. And another way I teach triggers is using what I call the blue hair theory, because it makes triggers make so much more sense. If someone walked up to me and said, "You have blue hair," I wouldn't be triggered at all. I wouldn't spiral, I wouldn't defend myself, and I wouldn't overthink it. Why? Because no part of me believes that's true. But when something does trigger you, it's usually because it's touched a belief or a wound or a story that already exists inside of you. It's not blue hair, it's touching something real. And this is also why the inner critic gets so loud after a trigger, because the trigger wakes up the old story and the inner critic starts reinforcing it. Why did I say that? I should know better. What's wrong with me? Why did I react like that? So now you're not just dealing with the trigger, you're dealing with the shame about how you responded to the trigger. And that shame is what chips away at our own self-trust. One thing I hear from clients all the time is, "I don't trust myself when I get triggered." And that is such a real experience, because after the reaction comes the replay, the overthinking, the self-judgment. And let's make this really real in everyday life. So imagine your boss messages you, "Hey, can we talk later?" Or an employee says, "Do you have a minute? I want to talk." And instantly your chest tightens and your mind starts creating stories. What happened? Did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble? Did I mess up? And the reality is nothing has even happened yet, but your nervous system is already activated. And that really is old energy waking up in the present moment. Another huge trigger that shows up in parenting, and if you have kids, I feel like this will resonate with you. When you ask your kid to help you with something and they give you attitude, and suddenly your reaction might feel bigger than the moment. And why is that? What's being triggered within you? It's usually feeling unappreciated or unsupported or frustrated. And it's not about really what the kid is doing or not doing. It's about you probably overgiving or doing too much for your kids. Thinking about all the things that you do, feeling unappreciated when they act this way. And so what does that mean? It means you need more boundaries with your kids. So there have been moments where I ask my kids for help with something small and they respond with attitude, or they don't help right away, or they literally act like I'm asking them to deep clean the entire house. And I can literally feel that activation in my body instantly. And again, what that looks like for me is maybe my chest tightening, my thoughts racing, my mind going to, "I do so much for them. Why is this so hard for them? Why can't they just help me?" But when I slow that down, it's really just about the task. It activates those deeper feelings of being unseen, unsupported, unappreciated. And again, realizing I've been doing too much and not honoring my own limits, my own capacity. And this shows up in relationships too, in subtle ways. One of the biggest triggers I've had to work through in my current relationship is expressing how I actually feel and then immediately bracing for this response, especially if it's something honest or if I think it's something that he might not want to hear. It might be hurtful or it's something vulnerable. And even though I'm in a safe relationship now, my body will still react sometimes. There's like this internal bracing, like I'm waiting to be in trouble or like my needs are too much. And that reaction is not about the present moment. And luckily, I have the awareness of that. It's just my nervous system remembering what expression used to feel like in the past. So instead of shutting down or abandoning myself, I slow down and I recognize, okay, this is old. This is a past version of me being activated in a safe present moment. One thing that I've always taught my kids, and they don't always love hearing this, is that no one can make them angry or hurt their feelings or make them feel really anything. And I say that gently, not dismissively, but the moment we believe someone else is responsible for our emotions, we give our power away. And so it's empowering to have that belief that I'm always in charge of my emotions and reactions. No one can make me react in a certain way or get angry. And that is true empowerment. The other day, I was talking to one of my daughters, and she said, "Mom, you're annoying me. Mom, you're making me mad." And it was really just something I was holding her accountable to, and she didn't want to hear it. But I had to gently remind her, "I can't make you mad. I'm not that powerful. Something in you is feeling mad right now." I still validated her feelings, and that's such an important part of any in any relationship, parenting, at work, your partner is you can always validate someone's feelings, even if you might not agree with what they're saying. Validation goes so far. So I still validated her feelings because they're real. But that doesn't mean I caused this emotion within her. It means something within her is activated. And honestly, this work has been so freeing for me as a parent because I used to feel responsible for my kids' emotional reactions. If they were upset, I would think I did something wrong or I didn't handle a situation like I should have. And if they're triggered, it was like, I feel like I needed to fix it. And what I've learned is that I'm not in charge of my kids' triggers or their emotions. I can be sensitive. I can hold space. I can validate, but I don't have to carry their emotional experience. And I don't take it personally the way I used to. And that is a freedom I did not have before I learned this work. So recently in prepping for this podcast, I asked a couple of our teenage kids like directly what triggers them. And I did this not in the middle of a reaction because these conversations need to be had, you know, when you're in a regulated space. And their answers were really insightful. It was not being believed, not being listened to, feeling like they're in trouble, being shut down when they have an idea. And honestly, that's true for us adults too. But it's really beautiful to have these conversations with our kids so that we can understand them better and we can kind of be aware of what really activates them and help them work through it. And what's really beautiful now is that my older daughters who are adults, when they feel triggered, will literally say things like, what is this bringing up in me? What do I need to work through? Like I'll get a phone call of like, I'm with this person, this friend of mine, and she's saying these things and it's bothering me. And I know this is something within me. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't learn this until my 40s. And they're learning it as teenagers and young adults. And this is generational healing in real time. So even when you start doing this work, your kids might still shut down sometimes. They might hesitate or not tell you everything all the time. And that doesn't mean that you're not safe now, but it's because our nervous system remembers how things used to feel. Say you used to be really reactive or explosive. Their nervous system, that leaves an imprint on it. And so that's not something to take personally. I mean, you can, but safety is built through consistent, regulated responses over time. So let's talk about unmanaged triggers because they have a big impact. Think about people in your life who don't know how to manage their emotions. Maybe they lose it, or they shut down, or they get defensive, or they react unpredictably. What happens around them? You walk on eggshells, you brace, you filter what you say, you overthink. And that is a nervous system response to emotional unpredictability. And I want you to pause for a moment and really think about this. Are there people in your life that get triggered often? Or people that you feel you have to emotionally regulate around? And also ask yourself, who in your life triggers something in you? Not from blame, but from awareness. And this shows up in relationships in a huge way. How often do we hold back what we really want to say because we're afraid of someone else's reaction with our partner, our kids, our parents, even at work? And what I want to share is that when we hold back our truth to avoid discomfort, that's self-abandonment, my friends. If you haven't listened to episode 1, I suggest going back and listening to that on self-abandonment. Because the deeper truth is a lot of times we're not just afraid of their reaction. We're afraid of the discomfort we will feel if they get triggered. And this is so important to understand because again, we're not responsible for other people's reactions and you cannot control whether someone else gets triggered. What can we do? We can be kind, respectful, emotionally aware, and know that we're not in charge of someone else's nervous system. The most important thing is to stay authentic and not abandon yourself. So as you're listening to all of this, you might be thinking, okay, I see myself in these examples. I see my reactions. I see my triggers. And that awareness alone is incredibly powerful. Most people will go their entire lives reacting without ever slowing down enough to notice what's happening inside of them. So instead of complicated systems, I teach a very simple three-step process that you can actually remember when you're triggered, and that's if you can have the capacity to do it, which takes practice. The first thing is noticing. The second is getting curious. And then the third is regulating before you respond. So first, noticing. When you feel that activation, you say, something in me is activated right now, or something in me is triggered right now. Not what's wrong with me, not I don't want to feel this, I'm going to avoid this, but just awareness. And then get curious, what is this triggering within me? What story am I telling myself? What belief just got activated? And this is a big one. How old does this feeling feel? What does this remind me of? Because most triggers are not about the present moment. They're about something familiar in your nervous system from the past. And then third, it's regulate before reacting. And this can look like a couple breaths, slowing the body down, grounding yourself, supporting your nervous system, and then responding from your adult self. And sometimes this looks like taking a pause or taking space when you feel the activation. That's not the time to talk through anything at the moment. It's be with what's in the body's so wise. So that might look like if you're with your partner, like I'm going to take some space to work through what's coming up for me, and then I'm going to come back when I'm in a more regulated space. So you are never going to eliminate triggers completely. You're a human. You have a nervous system. You have lived experiences. The goal isn't to never be triggered. The goal is to understand what's happening when you are. And the more self-aware you become, the less activated you become by the same things. You still feel the trigger. You just don't get hijacked by it in the same way. It moves through you faster. It feels less intense. And you trust yourself to work through it. And that's really the shift. Because again, you're still going to get triggered and you won't always be calm about it. But through practice and awareness, you start to understand what's happening inside of you and you learn not to abandon yourself in those moments. And it's true that you actually can not be triggered by things as you do more work to heal. You can really, sometimes it surprises me when I remember like, oh my gosh, that used to trigger me so much and it doesn't anymore. Because I've continued the practice of doing the work. So before we wrap up, I just want to say thank you for being here and spending this time with me today. If this episode resonated with you, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss future episodes. And if leaving a 5-star review feels aligned for you, it truly helps the podcast, I'm learning. So it helps the podcast reach more people who need these conversations. And you can share this episode with a partner, a friend, a kid, or anyone you think could benefit from understanding their triggers in a more compassionate way. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.